Do you really know? This is who I am. This is who God created me to be. Scripture says in 2 Corinthians 3:17, now where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. As you think about your identity, there's some of you sitting here today that have been trying to become somebody that you're not, and you're never going to be. You believed a lie about yourself that someone imposed on you early in life, or you came to believe that about yourself. But really, the one who really knows you is God, because He's the one who created you. Now, several statements that I want to begin this message today making about who you're not. Because before we can talk about who you are, let's see who you're not. First of all, you're not a nobody. You know, if that's been imposed on you by someone in your life, you're nobody, you don't matter, that's a lie. You're unique. There's no one else like you in all the earth. Secondly, you're not a hopeless case. God hasn't thrown it in on you. And believing that your life can't change, that I'm going to be this way, the way I am, for the rest of my life. Well, it's only going to be that way if you continue to come into agreement with that and believe that. You're not a hopeless case. Third, you're not a victim. The poor, pitiful me, victim mentality is not a part of our faith in Christ. That's not the way God looks at us. So today, we're going to talk about, and several weeks ago, this really wasn't where I was headed for message today, but I've had so many conversations with some of you over the last several weeks that this is the direction that God pointed me in for today. Now, let's pray and let's ask God right now that He'll put all the other stuff out of our minds and let us listen to Him. Okay, let's pray right now. Lord, there are a lot of other things swirling around in us. But God, right now, I'm asking You that each one of us here could zero in on You and listen to Your voice, because You have a word to speak to us today. You want the best for us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Now, this is who Jesus says you are. First of all, He says you're accepted. You're accepted. Have any of you ever not been accepted by someone? How's that feel? Pretty bad, eh? You go up to the door, knock on the door, and wham! they find out who you are, or say, "Don't even come around me. Get away from me." No one wants to feel that kind of rejection. But I want you to know today, in God's eyes, you're accepted. What does the Scripture have to say about it? In Romans 5, verses 8 and 9, it says, "But God showed His great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. And since we have been made right in God's sight by the blood of Christ, He will certainly save us from God's judgment." Now, one of the things that we have believed, and it's a popular religious belief is that we've got to change ourselves up before we can come to Christ. That's not how salvation works. Salvation comes when God touches your life. He makes the first move. He always has made the first move. He's the one who drew you to Himself through His love, drawing you to Himself. And He knows, He already knows how your life is. He knows who you are, knows where you've been. And He still loves you. Still loves me. While we were sinners, Christ died for us. John 3:16 says this, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have eternal life." There's God reaching out to us, His ever-reaching through His love. John 1:12 says this, "But as many as received Him, to those He gave the right, the privilege to become the sons of God, even those that believe on His name." You see, Jesus is accepting you. He's already put the welcome mat out to all of us. But have we received His acceptance? He's invited us to the party, but have we accepted the invitation and decided to attend? You know, it's like having money in the bank, never writing a check. He loves you. He's accepted you. So if you're sitting here today and you're wondering, well, what is Jesus' attitude towards me? He loves you. He loves you. He looks through all the garbage that has come in your life. He sees through all that and He loves you because He's the one who created you. You're special. There's nobody else like you. And it's not up to, it's not how you perform. It's not how many good deeds you have done. It's His unconditional love for you. Can you see that? For some reason, it seems like people that have been exposed to the church and in religion have the hardest time with that. Because we're thinking, well, I've got to do something for Him. Works come after. Works then come through His power. All right, secondly, you're secure. Revelation 3:5 says this, "All who are victorious will be clothed in white. I will never erase their names from the Lamb's book of life, but I will announce before my Father and His angels that they are mine." Once you step over with Him, you're secure in Him. He said, "I'll never leave you or forsake you." He says in Matthew 28, "And lo, I am with you." How long? Always. Always. So, we're secure. Once we become a part of God's family, we're secure in Him forever. Now, listen, I want to tell you what we believe as church. We believe that once you have received Jesus in your life, that nothing, no one can ever snatch you out of His hand. Some people teach that you can lose this gift of salvation. That's not what the Bible teaches. If it's all of Him, and salvation is, then it's all up to Him. And I'm leaning completely upon Him. The one who saved me is one who can keep me. So, 1 John 5:18 says this, "We know that those who've become part of God's family do not make a practice of sinning, for God's Son holds them securely, and the evil one cannot get His hands on them." Don't you like that? Don't you like that translation of that? The evil one can't get his hands on, because he'd like to snatch us away. Third thing, you are significant. First John 4, 9 and 10 says this, God showed how much He loved us by sending His only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through Him. This is real love. It is not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. Then 1 Peter 2, 9 says this, but you are a chosen people, royal priests, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession. You were chosen to tell about the wonderful acts of God who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. Chosen by God. Chosen to be on His team. To be His co-worker. God's given you a great chance. He says you're significant. Now, how do we measure significance in our society? Usually the big three, money, sex, and power. But you know what? That isn't how God measures. Because think about things that we think of as significant, that were significant at one time in our lives. Think about all the things in your past that you thought were significant at one time. Are they significant today? Makes you think about a lot of things, doesn't it? Things that you chased after. Things that you wanted, you had to have. If I have this, if I live here, if I drive this car, if I'm in relationship with this person. And let me stop that for a moment right there. And, that country and western song, Thank God for Unanswered Prayers. I've done that many times. You know, because there are some females that I dated in my past or wanted to date, and I look at that, you know, I think about that today, and I thought, man, we'd have never made it. We'd have never made it. Because in the middle of that, God had someone picked out for me. About significance. Do you feel significant today? That you matter? That your life matters to God? Now, finally, what does God offer to you? What can you have because of who you are? Because of your identity. Now, I remind you, we said you're accepted, you're secure, you're significant. But what does He offer to you? First of all, He offers His authority. You can have authority. Now, why do you need authority? Let's read this verse in Matthew 28:18-20. Jesus came and told His disciples, I've been given complete authority in heaven and earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands that I've given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the earth, end of the age. All authority is given to Jesus. If we're His disciples, that means we have His authority. Why do we need authority? What do we need authority over? Once you come to Christ, everything's okay after that, right? You make this decision to receive Jesus into your life, and your life is bliss after that, right? You got a bank account full of money. You get to do whatever you want to do. Isn't that how it works? No. You are secure in Him. You are significant in Him. He has you. He protects you. But you begin a battle at that point in your life with the world, the flesh, and the devil. A battle that will be until you die or until Jesus comes back and takes you. A battle that goes on. A battle royale. How many of you have felt the battle this week? Well, most of us. Some of y'all must have been on another planet somewhere. And I guarantee you, if you didn't raise your hand, you hadn't driven on Abercorn this week. I know I mention that all the time, but Lord, that is a testing place for me. People cuss me. They shake their fist at me. I thought they were doing one-way Jesus till I got my glasses changed and realized it was different. I mean, they do that a lot. And it's just a little microcosm of the battle that's going on every day. Do you feel some weeks like, man, if one more person comes by and has got a bad attitude that comes into my life, I'm going to slap them. You ever felt that? They're going to get a backhand. The next one that comes through that door and does that. And it happened to be Dane last week. And he was a pow. I'm tired of you, Dane. I'm sick of it. No, Dane is a perfect angel. So, you need the authority of Jesus to deal with the world, the flesh, and the devil the same way Jesus dealt with it. He told the devil to go. And this is the only case in time where you can tell somebody to go to hell, and it's correct. Tell him to get away, get behind me. To not cooperate with the world, to realize what's happening. If you realize that the evil one, the world system, that your own flesh is trying to move you away from who you are and whose you are. Do you get it? That's why you need his authority. So you can speak with authority. So you can act with authority. So you can call upon him. You can pause in prayer. Don't close your eyes on Abercorn, though, when you pray. Pause in prayer and call upon his resources. Secondly, you can have victory. 1 Corinthians 15:57 says this. But we thank God he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died on the cross, was buried, and what happened 3 days later? Up from the grave he rose. Man, phew, what a blessing. He came out of the grave. He defeated sin, Satan, death. All authority is given me in heaven and earth. And he made that statement, and then he carried it through. So the authority is shown that he has the authority over death. He's defeated death. He's defeated sin. He has defeated the devil. Now, the sentence hadn't been carried out yet. That's why the prince of the power of the air is out and about. And that's why his demons are out and about. But they've gotten an appointment where God is going to deal with them. But in the meantime, we need to walk in God's authority and in the victory that he's given us. Now, the great thing about a leader is a leader can see things that the followers can't see. Now, what does Jesus see that we can't see? He sees that it's a done deal. The victory is already secure. So we need to follow him and walk in his victory. Not in some Pollyanna, mamby-pamby, kind of plasticky Christian world that's fakey, hokey-dokey. We're just going to talk about positive things all the time. And if we talk about positive things enough, we'll just raise up the positive quotient in our life, yet ignoring the sewage of life that is running under our feet. Somebody's got to acknowledge that there's garbage there and take out the trash and deal with it. That's what we're talking about. Dealing with the stuff in our life. And in reality, experiencing real victory in Christ. I tell you, those Chinese Christians right now, I talk about them all the time, but they're walking in real victory. They are really being persecuted. They are really suffering because of their faith. But God is working through their lives and has given them the victory in spite of it, because they know that He is Lord over all. And one day, every knee is going to bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. Finally, you can have freedom. Romans 8:2 says this: "For the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you." Oh man, we got to go back and read that. I'm going to do that. We got to go back and read it. All right. In Romans chapter 7, this is where this verse, the context of where it comes. In verse 24, chapter 7, he says, "Wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" Here is Paul dealing with life as he saw it. Life as he is a Christian in the middle of the struggle with the world, flesh, and the devil, what he was doing. He said, "Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, on the one hand, I with my mind am serving the law of God. On the other hand, the flesh, the law of sin." And then chapter 8, verse 1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. So if you're Christian today, you see Jesus, and you're feeling condemned, that is not from God. You need to proclaim and receive His freedom today. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free. He set you free. Walk like you're free. You know, take you back here. Remember in the original Roots miniseries? Remember Kunta Kinte? Remember, I mean, they did all of these things in his life for him to be a slave. But you know what? Kunta Kinte was never a slave on the inside, was he? They cut off his foot. They did all sorts of things. But he was free. And just the way that was portrayed in that movie, I thought about that. Yes, there was suffering in his life, but in his mind and in his heart, he was free. Now hear this. God has chosen you to live as free men and women in this world where He has placed you. In your family, in your work situation, to be free. You can't have the joy of the Lord if you're in bondage. They are mutually exclusive. Now, what's stealing your joy of you being who God created you to be? What are you allowing to get in between you and God? Last question. And can Jesus, through His power, does He have the authority to remove what gets in between you and Him? Will you allow Him to do it? To receive it? Do you want your life to be different? Or you want to live in the same misery, same lies? Now I have to say this about my mama today. Seeing her in the hospital. She didn't let us come and visit her when we were kids, when she went in the hospital a few times. She was always afraid that she'd say something that we children weren't supposed to hear. So she kept us away. That's really thinking things through, isn't it? To go to that point. But seeing her in that hospital and suffering, and with a cancer that has attacked her body, and then to hear the praise of the Lord come from her lips to my ears and to my heart. To see God speak through her to medical staff who are just punching her, trying to get blood, and her stopping them and saying, "No, we're going to get somebody that knows how to get this blood." And they're looking around. They don't see who. "No, we're going to talk to him right now." And she did. And they got the blood. Answer to prayer. That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. In the middle of suffering and in the middle of life, you know, what did Doc Holliday say to Wyatt Earp? You know, it's just life. It's just life. You're dealing with life. It's a fallen world. And Jesus wants us to have the victory in the middle of it. And victory isn't how the world defines victory. It's God's definition. What victory does He want to give you today? Just a moment, we're going to open the altar. We have some folks standing around here who want to pray with you. The altar will be open for you to come and pray. I'd like to pray with you. But this is your opportunity. I'm just the messenger boy. And right now, let me tell you this. If there's anything that I've said today, I'm about to pray it, that's out of line, that is not God's will, strike it. But every syllable that I spoke today that is from the heart of God, we need to treat it as such. Do you understand me? Let's pray. And Lord, I thank You that You always lead with Your love, and You're with us today. You love us enough to tell us the truth about our lives. I'm asking You now, Lord, come and speak. Move. As we open the altar, may we receive Your freedom and discover our true identity. Not a slave in bondage to the world, but a person set free by Jesus Christ. Thank you. this way, if you will. Thank you for your patience with this time. God's speaking. He's speaking to a lot of us about a lot of things today. And so let him continue to speak to you today as you go out from this place.